You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
On this episode, I host Michael Jakowski, who is a Duck Creek's chief executive officer and also serves on the board of directors. Mike brings more than 25 years of technology, operations, and insurance industry expertise to this global leadership role, in which he's responsible for the company's strategic direction and overall performance. Prior to Duck Creek, Mike had several leadership roles at Allstate. He was a senior vice president for the agency technology and sales business units, where he was responsible for strategic management and operations. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please welcome Michael. Michael, thank you for taking the time to jump on with us on the Ivy Podcast today. Can you share with us a little bit more about the company, about yourself, your experience, and kind of any background information prior to you founding the organization? We'd love to hear a little bit more about you.
Sure. Thanks, John. At Duck Creek, our solutions are at the heart of property and casualty insurers, and specifically tied to their core systems, which are the systems that manage an insurance carrier's full life cycle, from developing and selling insurance products, like helping an agent quote and issue new policies, or servicing insurers' customers, like billing or managing receivables, or most importantly, managing the overall claims process. Sometimes I refer to us as being the ERP platform for insurance carriers. And we've established ourselves as a SaaS leader in the property and casualty core industry, resulting in really strong adoption of our solution. You know, just one notable example is we've enjoyed strong momentum from many large tier one insurance carriers, most recently being announced at AIG as being the standard for what they call their AIG 200 initiative, which is really a technology platform to serve AIG for the next 100 years. And we're very proud to be such a part of this iconic brand in the industry. And then I would say, as it relates to me personally, I've really spent most of my entire near 30-year career applying technology to the insurance industry. So it's certainly a privilege to lead Duck Creek and lead a company that is on a march to serve the greater good of insurance and transform the industry through our innovative SaaS solutions. And I think to that end, for me, it's all about, you know, great people that really comprise a great company. So, you know, I really put a lot of energy in trying to work with the best people and find the best people to solve problems that our customers face. And I think most importantly, empower them to create solutions that will be viable now and well into the future. And I'm really proud of what we've accomplished in the industry.
That's exciting. I love the analogy of the ERP to, you know, the insurance industry. I think that's a great way to summarize kind of your organization in two words. To take that a little bit further, technology disruption in the insurance industry in general, it's not something that we hear on a daily basis. Would love to get your practical kind of knowledge on any case studies or practical recommendations that may have worked for you recently, especially during these times, for the clients that you're serving from the standpoint of really using the technology for the greater benefit of your customer base.
You bet. And, here at Duck Creek, our vision is a full-on SaaS platform for core systems that, you know, frankly, are continuously updated and really just steering away from just very large, complex, time-consuming, and costly implementations and upgrades, you know, the carriers go through. And that's a direction that we're taking the overall business. We've been operating as a, you know, SaaS business for 7 years, and we've been investing very heavily in our SaaS product, Duck Creek On Demand, quite extensively over the last 5 years. And, you know, just two great examples of carriers that can operate, you know, using our SaaS low-code platform with more speed and flexibility. One is Munich Re Specialty, and another is Covaris. Munich Re launched a new line of business on our full Duck Creek suite, which is policy, billing, and claims. and they went live in just 90 days. And in this industry, that's pretty unprecedented. And then Caveras is a leading medical professional liability carrier with very, very complex needs. And our experts and our team worked together with Caveras and their IT operations and migrated their data from an on-premise solution into Duck Creek On Demand, our SaaS solution, in just 10 months. And I think one important thing that we're very proud of is we completed the latest stages of that program as a restrictions from COVID-19 were just introduced, and we did it without any delay to the project. So I think those are two great examples.
Yeah, that's exciting. Thank you for providing those examples for some of the practical, I guess, implementation or use of some of the technology in this space. As you know, for us at ProSource IT, you know, we specialize in niche IT staffing. A lot of that has to, you know, in advanced technologies such as, you know, machine learning, artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. RPA in that space. So I know how hard it is to, you know, to find talent that, you know, with that particular skill set. I'm curious from your standpoint, with advanced technologies really reinventing the whole software development space as a whole, have you leveraged these technologies or implemented or plan on implementing any AI-based solutions or machine learning in any of your operations?
Absolutely. And, you know, as we look at AI, you have two sides of the equation, John, right? The first one is creating, developing, training models that can be consumed. But then secondly, you know, how, once you have those models, how do you very effectively deploy those models and operationalize those within the insurance carrier? And one of the great things about us having a very open and connected technology platform is that we're able to offer so many great tools from our partner ecosystems to our customers without our customers having to invest the time and money that it would take to build these solutions in-house. And we've partnered with a number of companies that offer AI and machine learning solutions and a broad range of challenges that the industry faces. And then our customers can tap into our low-code configuration platform to seamlessly incorporate these AI-based solutions into their products and into their business processes. So we feel that our ecosystem approach just gives them the ability to focus on deploying our core technologies and customizing their business processes to use some of these industry-leading solutions. And some very notable new partners that come into our ecosystem are Cytora and Gradient AI. And both of these capabilities now deliver exciting advanced analytics into the Duck Creek platform. So we're very proud of that.
Well, that's exciting. And when it comes to innovation, especially, you know, during current times, it's, you know, it's interesting because if we look at, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, a lot of organizations or a lot of, you know, even the job seekers, we're kind of at the lowest level where, you know, that safety is, you know, is at the core. So innovation does not necessarily come into play, you know, at the top of everyone's mind. From your standpoint, what strategies or methodologies do you deploy that consistently help you come up with innovative ways to solve certain problems within your organization? And also, how do you motivate your teams to continue, you know, look at problems and solutions from the innovation standpoint?
Great question. You know, innovation is an important topic of our leadership team all the time. And I think up front, what I'll say is that innovation is clearly being accelerated by cloud technologies. It's just amazing what's happening out there in the industry. And then as further context, you know, I'll say that even though the insurance industry is a massive global industry with over $2.4 trillion of written premium, we believe that being very close and intimate to our customers is the best means to drive innovation, right? To have that personal relationship. And to this end, we pride ourselves by staying very close to our customers and building these very close relationships. So I would say it's our ability to leverage cloud-based technologies in the context of these deep customer relationships that is a unique way that we drive innovation. And with that, I would say that our SaaS platform brings us to a whole new level, because beyond being just close to the people of our customers, from the C-suite all the way down to folks that are using our software day to day, we can now see usage of our platform, user behavior. We can learn so much more about our solutions and how they're being used specifically by our customers and the end users of our customers. And we take that information and we empower everyone within Duck Creek to take what we've learned and turn those into insights, into actions, building new features in the tools, creating a test and learn environment. There's really nothing that that can really replace just that deep understanding that comes from directly connecting with the people of your customers, but then at the same time, seeing how they're using your technology. So lots of things are born from that. And then I think to your second question around how do we keep motivating our team, you know, I'd say beyond the customer relationships, you know, we've established and formalized a program to foster innovation at Duck Creek. Internally, we call the program Innovation Anywhere, and it's led by our Chief Product and Technology Officer, Andy Day. And it really speaks to the heart of our belief that the next big innovative idea can come from any of our, you know, 1,400 dedicated professionals within Duck Creek. And last year, you know, I really enjoyed being a judge at what we call our global hatchathon, you know, a play on words of a global hackathon competition where we hatch all these new ideas. And it was really inspiring just to see all of these ideas that came to fruition. And we flew a couple of teams over from India to go present these to our leadership team. And they're ideas that are big and small with a big range. But I think, you know, when you're really trying to inspire folks and focus on innovation, having a formal program like Innovation Anywhere is very important so that everyone within the organization can understand that that is a priority within the company.
Those are great examples. I love what stood out is the hatchathon. I think that's very unique. And I spend a lot of time interviewing a lot of executives like yourself from different size of organizations, from Fortune 500 to you know, just the startups that are coming up. And, you know, there's a lot of different ideas in terms of how these executives foster that whole culture of innovation, regardless of what times we're in. And one theme that's very consistent is having these forums or the platforms in terms of that almost like an innovation tournament or innovation council that gives, you know, an opportunity for everyone within the organization to participate and get a fair chance at getting some of their ideas come to fruition. So I think, you know, I definitely, you know, I've seen that work and I think that's very exciting. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
I recently, just last week, spent some time talking to a client of ours who is in charge of the cloud operations for a SaaS organization as well. And a good deal of our conversation, we've talked a lot about, you know, disaster recovery, chaos engineering, you know, the simulations that they put in place to plan proactively for certain events that, you know, these unexpected events could impact the overall productivity of your operations, your organization. I'm sure you have, you know, teams dedicated to that. You guys go through these exercises as well. Curious to get your take on that. And how do you ensure that, you know, not only your organization is prepared, but also how do you set up your customers for success when it comes to planning for the unexpected?
Obviously a great question and obviously very timely, of course, and insightful just given the current times. And I'll just start by saying I'm just very proud of the men and women of Duck Creek and, you know, what we've been able to do throughout, you know, the overall pandemic and as we respond to, you know, just a very challenging time in our world today. And I would say at Duck Creek, we have many of the typical things in place that you would expect, but that are very important in order to respond to these types of events. You know, very robust business continuity plans that we understand, document, and execute against. I'll say a fully technology-enabled workforce, you know, where everyone has the tools at their discretion to do their jobs. And then I'll say also very importantly, a history as a company of working very, very virtually, just because, you know, this comes from the natural course of our company where we have a very large offshore workforce over in India, you know, very talented team over there, very consistent working 24/7 around the clock, collectively with our folks across the globe. And I think always, you know, that helps. But I think at the same time, you know, it's developing an industry leading and highly configurable SaaS solution, or running your business on a SaaS solution, leveraging communications and collaboration tools. I can't say enough about really amping up communications and talking very frequently with everybody throughout the organizations and keeping those lines of communications open. We've exploded kind of social media within the company in terms of people even posting around what's going on in their work environment and how they're working across the organization. And then obviously the discipline of having robust project management processes. And I think, you know, at Duck Creek, we've proven that we can move fast and deliver high quality deliverables. You know, we've had more than 50 go live events or implementations since the beginning of March. So, and these are big projects, John, that, you know, you have to execute in a virtual world. So we're very, very proud of that. And then I think with that, our customers look for us to give them coaching around how to execute projects and be successful in this quote unquote new normal world. You know, we've had to kick off projects virtually. You know, we obviously use, you know, tools like Microsoft Teams and other tools in order to be successful in doing that. But it's also about having, you know, very thoughtful project plans that have discipline around how work is allocated and how those dependencies work. And then we manage to that. And then finally, we think we're really preparing our customers through a digital, you know, cloud-based platform with our SaaS product, Duck Creek On Demand. It's a product where end users can be anywhere in the world and work virtually. It's a product that we can run, manage, and operate virtually, and it's, you know, it, you know, extremely secure and highly available. So it's allowing our customers to really change their operations because technology is not a limiting issue. And I think that's really, really important as we focus on the future. And then maybe to circle back to Duck Creek too, I'd say that as a SaaS company that we provide a SaaS product, we also, some can say eat your own dog food. I like to say drink your own champagne, which we run the entirety of our business on SaaS solutions, running the company on Workday and on Salesforce and Office 365. And I think that keeps us nimble in our own operations, you know, it really helps us support our people and in turn supporting our customers at the same time during these challenging times.
That's right. Drink your own champagne. And you know, thank you for providing those examples. I think it's, you know, very relevant, especially in the current times that we're in, with a lot of people being remote, a lot of clients, you know, leveraging the virtual technologies. And, you know, I want to recognize the, you mentioned your deployment schedules, you know, in going live so frequently with so many different features. You got to have a very robust infrastructure methodology in place. And it sounds like that's where you guys are at. So that's, you know, that's very exciting.
Yeah. Thank you.
One of the kind of the values of the Ivy podcast is to create this platform where I am able to connect executives to one another. So I see a lot of value coming out of this. And one individual that really comes to my mind as you and I are having this conversation is a gentleman named Danish Yusuf. He's a fellow HBS alum based out of Toronto, and he's the CEO of a company called Zensurance. Not sure if you heard of them, but I would love to connect you guys because he's in a similar space. You know, they're an insurance provider and, you know, they're serving the Canadian market. And him and I spend a good deal of time talking about the kind of the technology trends specifically for insurance industry. And I wanted to get your take on that in terms of what are the kind of the software development trends in your space that you foresee will come out as a result of current times.
Sure. you know, lots of trends that are happening out there, but I think, you know, a trend that we're going to see continue to accelerate and probably more so in our industry is relying on SaaS and cloud-based services to be a critical part of business going forward. And, you know, I mentioned this before around, you know, cloud technologies accelerating innovation and the pace of innovation. You know, it's just astounding. And, you know, I'm just amazed today that we can create a capability in our core platform with just a couple of lines of code that several years ago took hundreds or sometimes even thousands of lines of code because of just the compelling nature of the platforms being driven by large. And then I think a second trend that we've really, you know, latched onto and really brought into the insurance domain are a trend of low-code platforms and no-code platforms. You know, the ability for less technical resources to create compelling solutions without having to really understand the details of a very, you know, complex technology stack. And, you know, the benefit of a low-code platform is really at the heart and soul of what Duck Creek does. And we're very innovative in that way, where we allow carriers to quickly configure their business rules in a low-code or no-code platform. And this allows our customers to save and edit those rules with front-end editors without the need to write, you know, code or Java or JavaScript or something like that. And they can better manage and reuse you know, their elements of their insurance products and their business processes, and allows them to launch products more quickly. It allows them to monitor and change their products more quickly and react to the environment, the insurance environment that's out there, like regulators. And we have a great example of this where we just had a go live with a property insurer in Florida called UPC Insurance. And, they're going through a deployment into new states. And when you do a deployment, regulators give you feedback on your filing. And they had to respond to regulator feedback and make necessary changes before they deployed their platform. And we found ourselves in a situation where we had changes that we had to deploy over the weekend, and we were able to make those changes over a weekend so that they can stay on pace to go live for a Monday launch. And we were able to do that with our low-code platform. So, you know, if you go look at that at carriers that don't have a low-code platform or a means to do it, a typical insurer, those regulated mandated changes might take weeks, perhaps even months, to make those types of changes. And then what we do is we bring this capability to business users as well, where they can make changes to insurance products or their business processes. So it's not just for developers. And it really just means that it broadens the pool of talent within a carriers that can make change. And I think it really promotes what we think is very important in the insurance market is more of a test and learn behavior to constantly optimize and improve your business. And I think that is going to be a trend that we're going to see quite a bit.
That's great. That's quite insightful. And, you know, some of the concepts that you've mentioned, especially around low code, it's, you know, I personally can't wait. And I see a lot of adoption of such technologies, you know, throughout different industries. So I can't agree more with you. And it's exciting to see, you know, the various trends that are going to come out of these times. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, my favorite topic in terms of talent acquisition, talent retention, especially in current times, you know, very unique and interesting because, you know, a lot of companies have gone through furloughs and, you know, the layoffs, there's, you know, different set of quality of candidates have been impacted. I'd like to get your take on when hiring for your teams or your organization for the candidates that interview directly with you, do you tend to get creative with your interviews or you keep them pretty traditional? And if so, in general, what do you look for in the responses that, you know, the candidate when you get to interview them?
You bet. And I love that you're asking about talent and people because, you know, even just being a CEO of a company, to me, it is all about people and the people we employ, creating a great business where people can thrive and do their best work. And reach their own ambitions and dreams is really important for me. So I'm thrilled that you asked. What I'll say is, I'll say that perhaps maybe it's seen that I'm more on the traditional side. I don't think, asking clever trick questions is really something that I do. Because, I think for me, it's more of an authentic approach around really understanding what somebody's passion is, what their ambitions are, and do they have great alignment to the role in front of them and to the company and what we care about over at Duck Creek. I'll say that, first and most importantly, when I'm interviewing folks, I'm always looking for alignment on core values, the core values of the company. And, for us on our core values, we prioritize respect every individual, regardless of their background and who they are. We listen, we care, we lead, and we add value. And I think, sometimes when I'm asking a question, I don't see it as a test for the perfect answer, quite frankly. I'm actually looking for a candidate on representing those core values. Do they listen to the question? Are they seeking to understand the question? Do they have a curiosity nature to really learn more about the intent of the question? I'd rather, have somebody that's actually very curious and really wants to go through the process of problem solving that comes back with a better answer, maybe even over a small amount of time, than having the perfect answer on the spot all the time. People are real. And for me, this is a very personal business. I'm actually one of the original architects of our claim solution, literally back in the day, coding till 2 a.m, sleeping under a desk type stuff. And, it's about, people being passionately tied to some of the outcomes and some of the things that we want to achieve as a business, quite frankly. So, there's a lot of things that you do look for, but I'll say there's never a perfect answer for any question. I'm just looking for people that really share a common passion for technology and really bettering people's lives in the insurance industry. And I think we have a great platform to do that. And if people share that vision with us, I'm excited to bring them on the team.
That's exciting. And, congratulations on that growth that you guys are experiencing. I'm sure that's, very exciting times, I'm sure very challenging at the same time. And I love some of the examples that you provided as part of what you look for in some of the responses, because as I deal with candidates, whether that's, a mid-level software developer to, cyber liability engineer, at the end of the day, if you don't know the answer, it is totally okay. You're not expected to know everything. It's totally okay to admit that. But at the same time, to follow through with some of the steps that you're going to take in terms of being able to figure something out and kind of proactive approach to get to the root cause of a particular situation. So that's exciting to hear some of the examples that you're providing. In your space, I'm curious, what are some of the most in-demand skill sets that you guys are currently looking for these days? And which ones are the most challenging to find? So when you think of that, I'm curious to know a little bit further in terms of what strategies do you deploy to attract such talent to your organization?
Sure. I would say in broad terms, the most in-demand skill sets and what we're looking for just as a SaaS company is around, SaaS, engineers, certainly, and architects around our software capabilities, but then also folks that are tied to our SaaS operations. And that's really one of the areas of our business that is scaling at the fastest pace. So these are folks that really know DevOps, that know automation, that really know, what we call continuous integration, in terms of deployment. So, how do we have a pipeline of deployment with more velocity, and the folks that are designing software from day one to be able to be run, operated, and deployed. And that's very different than some of your, historical large scale project type work that we've had in the past. So it's a bit of a different skill set. And, you know, we're very proud of some of the SaaS talent that we've brought into Duck Creek that is really helping us scale this business and have, you know, very favorable outcomes in the overall industry. You know, if there is a silver lining, at least for us, we are, you know, hiring quite a bit, even through this current economic climate and what we're experiencing with COVID-19. And we do think that it is an opportunity for us to attract top talent. You know, one thing that we are looking at is our overall workforce. You know, I said this earlier, but we have a history of working with a remote workforce and a virtual workforce. You know, we have some key offices in Boston and in South Carolina, Missouri, and in Chicago. But I think at the same time, you know, we work very, very effectively in a virtual environment. And we've proven that without, you know, any missteps during, you know, this period of lockdown. And for us, you know, we think that we can attract talent of people that want to work more virtually. And I think that's always good. We think we have a great culture and, you know, great alignment around a growing company that's winning in the industry and really focused on very interesting and innovative work. And I think, you know, really selling that culture and selling, you know, advanced technology seems to attract top talent as well. And I think, you know, to sum it all up, we're looking for candidates that really want to help come in and solve some very difficult problems. You know, I'm going to say that solving some of these problems in the insurance industry are not easy problems, but, you know, you really find that top talent doesn't want easy problems. They really like to take on some big challenges. Mm-hmm. And, I think more that people come through the recruiting process and understand us as a company really see that as a true differentiator at Duck Creek.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you, especially, you know, us ProServes, we spend a lot of time talking to different candidates of various levels, and to be able to sell an organization on the culture that they have built, on the type of leadership that's within the organization, I think that's of the utmost importance to a lot of the candidates, whether you're just coming out of school or whether you have, you know, 20 plus years of experience. At the end of the day, that's what, you know, these candidates are looking for, the type of, you know, leadership that's leading the organization, the type of culture that's, you know, has been fostered within the organization. So that's exciting, exciting, all of the projects and initiatives that you guys got going on. Last but not least, Michael, curious, what are you currently reading, and what is one book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
Yeah, I would probably highlight what I would always recommend to others, and it's one of my old favorites, which is Measure What Matters by John Doerr. And, you know, I've run small teams. I've run large corporate departments when I was working over at Allstate, and then obviously I have the privilege and luxury of leading an overall company. And I think the greatest power that you can provide a team is just clarity. It's clarity on what you want to achieve and how everybody is contributing to the greater good of the organization. You know, my whole career, I've always wanted to feel that my work really mattered and it really contributed to something larger. And, you know, I know this is a podcast, so there's nothing visual on it, but, you know, in my past, I was working with an organizational consultant one time, and we were going through some team building exercises, and they put, you know, the first slide they put up was an arrow going in one direction. And within the arrow was a bunch of arrows inside of it that were pointing in all kinds of different directions, you know, left, right, up, down, et cetera. And you could see, you know, the little arrows were meant to represent perhaps people within an organization, and the big arrow is where the organization needs to go. And we interviewed everybody, and, you know, just say, well, how does this make you feel? And, you know, makes you feel unproductive. It makes you feel you're not aligned. It makes you feel you're not. And then, you know, next slide was all arrows pointing in the same direction, right? We use the term everybody rowing in the same direction. And I think, you know, as a leader, one thing you're always trying to do, and I'm always, you know, I feel like I'm always under construction myself, so open for feedback, but you're always trying to create more clarity and more alignment within your organization, because, you know, people work way too hard to have wasted energy. And, you know, there's nothing that makes me feel you know, terrible or bad when I know that people are working on something, or if you find out that it was not, you know, taking you towards an end goal. So when I, you know, to go back to the book of Measure What Matters, and really a methodology, and whether you use that methodology or not, but using an approach where everyone has more line of sight to what, you know, the whole organization's trying to achieve, and how people can contribute to that cause, and then with more clarity around some of the immediate things that need to get done, and then, you know, modifying those over time, is a very, very powerful concept. And I think that most leaders really care about their people, and if they care about their people, creating that alignment is something very important. And I just found that that book helped me in many different ways, really kind of shed light on that. So that's probably one that I would probably recommend more than others to many leaders.
I love that. And for our listeners, we'll make the link to the book available in our episode notes. Michael, I know you're a very busy guy. Thank you so much for lending your expertise to us today. It was, you know, jam-packed 30-minute conversation, and I personally learned quite a bit through this. So I really appreciate all the insights. I've been taking a lot of notes myself. And I would love to stay in touch, and maybe, you know, we can reconnect in a couple of years and see where you guys are at. It's always, you know, exciting to get back on a podcast and see how much has changed. So I definitely thank you for your time, and look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you very much, John. I enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.